Hello, my precious radio listeners, and welcome to yet another episode of Sex Talk. This episode of Sex Talk is so delightful and life-altering that I'm not even... I was toying with the idea of not even sharing it with you at all. Because what I am bringing to you tonight is the three most powerful forces in the world of porn all over the same radio channel. What are the three points of porn, Dr. Sexopoulos? Point one, bukkake. Point two is my original Mark One android sidekick, Lance, back from the grave.
Heyo.
And point three is, of course, a real-life L.A. celebrity who goes by the nom de plume, the nom de porn, excuse me, Jason.
Would this be our L.A. pornospondent?
Well, hopefully in time. Jason, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Jason, welcome to the show. Now, Jason,
from the
notes that I was just handed, you've starred in numerous porn hits, including Chasing Jason,
Shaving Ryan's Privates,
Jason and the Chode O'Nots, and
Count Fistula.
Oh yeah, right.
So seriously, Jason, before we get going, I should introduce the voices that you're hearing.
Okay.
Our host is DJ...
DJ Tandon Lovin' It.
Okay, DJ Tandon Lovin' It, who will be in control of all of our radio destinies for about the next 50 minutes. And then to the right of me is...
Dr. Sexopoulos. And cyborg correspondent to replace Lance.
And I, of course, am Lance.
Okay.
How's Los Angeles treating you tonight?
It's going well. I mean, it's a little bit cool out, but, you know, it's not raining.
you rub it in. It's pouring and freezing here.
And raining.
You guys got any electricity, or are you kind of sick of that joke?
Well, actually, in Los Angeles, I believe, largely due to extensive lobbying from the porn industry, they still have electricity around the clock.
And they know how to lobby.
Yeah.
But seriously, so we are told you actually...
So, again, the point of this, the point of the show, Jason, is to have you give us sort of... the bird's eye view of the fringes of the porn industry.
Okay. Sounds good.
So let's start at the beginning.
At the beginning? Or how I started?
Yeah, how this all... wait, hold on a second. Our host, DJ Tand, looks troubled.
Well, I don't know if you have a linear narrative all prepared for us, and if you do, I want to encourage you to jump right into it. I mean, I am interested in what your role is in the porn industry. Are you, you know... writer, director, producer, talent? I mean, are you just one of the 500 guys that lines up for the kind of...
For the Houston 500?
Yes, pretty much.
Really?
I've done that a few times.
Really? You've been in one of these big gangbang tapes, if I can use that phrase?
Yes, I have, but I wasn't in the Houston 500, though.
Interesting.
Were you in the Dallas 1200?
or
the Minneapolis 6?
The Wexford, yeah, sorry. I guess that would be the Wexford.
I didn't know that. I thought you were from my short briefing before the show. I thought you were kind of involved in the technical aspects of the industry.
Not necessarily. Mostly, I usually get jobs from friends, and they need like usually extra guys for like gang bangs or like what have you, or I guess bukkakes.
Well, I mean, but so far your description doesn't sound anything different from the computer science department here.
So, I got into the business basically from, I guess, like friends kind of like prodded me, like, why don't you do films? You'll be really good at it. And then basically I started off doing the bukkake type thing where you just like go off, you know, you go and like unload on, I guess, like usually it's one female or sometimes it might be two females.
Right.
And kind of like snowball from there,
so to speak. So let me interrupt you for a moment and back up. So you said you had friends who were already in the porn industry.
Yes. One of my friends, he's here in also LA area.
Of course.
Is John Collins.
And he and these other people were kind of inviting you to come on in, as it were.
Yes. Basically, John Collins is also talent and also a director. I guess like. Person who also like shoots the movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another guy who is part of the Bogus Brothers, and his name is Alex, who also does pretty much the same thing.
But so, I mean, not just any guy can just walk on in and function in a porn movie.
No,
moment, you know what I mean.
That's very true. Basically,
so was this a worry that you would be all primed and ready to go, and there under the hot lights, surrounded by a crowd?
Yes, I have experienced that. Usually, I don't have any problems if I abstain, like maybe like 2 days, you know, before shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually not, I guess, like of a problem. I guess, like, one thing is being confident, so, you know, I mean, you don't get all, like, nervous and, like, freaked out or basically have the director kind of, like, try to chop your head off by yelling at you and doing other things.
So we have to explore this for a second, because I'm the sort of guy that gets nervous when my girlfriend's stuffed teddy bear is looking at me. So is it the sort of thing where if you're sort of not performing up to spec, the director's like,
Damn it,
I expected better from you.
Get out of here, Mr. Floppy.
A lot of times, some directors will work with you, meaning that they will, like, stop shooting, let you get, you know...
In the mood?
In the mood, exactly. And let you go from there. But other directors, they seem to get, like, really, you know, like, mad when that happens because it's kind of like time is money type thing to them, so...
Yeah. Wait. Hold this thought, because we have to. We here in the Midwest have heard of this porn institution known as the Fluffer.
Yes, the Fluffer.
And so, I mean, wouldn't kindly directors dispatch fluffers to you, much the way Santa might dispense an elf with a friendly Christmas gift?
Well, I think a bit different, but. Yes, some big production houses like Metro, Devil's Films, they provide like fluff girls to get the guys up and ready for action.
Wait, is that the technical term, the fluff girl and not the fluffer?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
We'll have to make a note of that, actually, for the show logs.
Yeah, that's important.
So tell us a little bit. I actually have a couple of questions. But first, tell us about the fluff girl. I mean, are the fluffers, the fluff girls, I'm getting all confused with the terminology here.
Okay.
Are they like... How attractive are they? I mean,
yep.
Are they cuter than the real talent, or are they kind of...
And in a related question, if I can interrupt...
Maybe cute, but missing a leg?
Are they... In a related question, which you can kind of answer at the same time, are fluff girls at the beginning of their career, or is this something you kind of do at the end of your career?
From what I've seen, I haven't been in business that long, but...
But, I mean, surely you could tell
if they fluff girls... A lot of times it might be at the beginning of their career, from the ones that I've met.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, like, it might be, like, in the middle, where basically they're looking for work, and this is basically work, and you're not in the position to be in the shoot, so basically this is kind of like another way that you can make money.
So in a way, then, it really is, like, it completes the circle of porn, much like the circle of life from the, A Lion King, right, where they start out in one place, and they go full circle, and they come right back, right?
And the girls are actually really attractive. They are sometimes as attractive or even more attractive than, I guess, like the main talent in the shoot.
So why wouldn't they be in the shoot then?
So, well, usually they have, like, themes. So, for example, like if there's a birthday theme where it's kind of like, I guess, like Cammy's, you know, like 19th birthday party gangbang, basically Cammy is supposed to be the star and everyone else is supposed to be, like, I guess, like, you know, like side ornaments.
Okay, just like accessories to enhance the glory of the main actress.
More focus to go on her as opposed to like the other girls.
So wait, so they may be in the shoot, but just with a small part, right?
Exactly.
And they're just sort of doing what they can to help out the rest of the shoot, right?
Right.
They
would more than likely be fluffing. You know, unless it turns out into, like, a full orgy, which has happened in the past.
I'd assume fluffing always happened off camera, and it was something different. You're saying...
That I don't know, because I haven't seen the last film that I've been in with, like, fluff girls, but I have to, like, check that out.
Yeah.
You don't get a contributor or a copy?
I didn't get one, but I did, like, see, I guess, like, that Cammy's birthday gangbang in a video store, like... this past weekend, so I have to go check that out.
Cammy's birthday gangbang. We're writing that down.
I'm writing that down.
Cammy's 19th birthday party gangbang.
How do you spell that? K-A-M-I?
K-A-M-Y.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's what's been screwing me up this time.
This is really not that surprising. I mean, before I became a radio host here at the station, I had to be a fluffer for 2 or 3 years for our producer and the executive staff.
But you never actually got paid for that work.
I just figured it was part of the business. That's what they told me if I wanted to make it big in radio.
Oh, wow.
So can you tell us a little bit about the pricing structure here? How much would a fluffer make?
Usually a fluffer could make anywhere, I would believe, from, $150 to $200 per shoot in regards to fluffing.
And the shoot's usually one day?
And the shoot usually takes about one day. I guess like some of the big production houses, which put like a little bit more, you know, like effort into like making the film.
So they'd bother to light it.
Like that's 8 hours, and it may like take multiple days.
Yeah.
So
that's not very much, like $150 for doing what a fluffer does.
And I guess like the main talent, they usually get upwards to like $700 plus per shoot. Depending on, like, if it's going to be, like, more than one guy or is it going to be, like, a single guy and so on.
I've been curious about this because are the different sexual acts, like, is there sort of, like, a structured price difference between them? Or is it, like, is there, like, essentially a menu that the talent gives you, or is it a case-by-case basis?
Yes. Usually, I guess, like, female talent usually come up with, like, some set prices by some of the other girls that they've spoken to in the industry.
Okay, so it's sort of cultural conventions rather than any sort of union thing, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, cool. So go ahead, Dr. Sexopoulos.
Oh, I didn't mean to walk all over you.
Your medical knowledge precedes me.
No, somebody had told me recently that the porn industry is one of the few industries where women get paid more than men, but I had read the opposite.
Very true because
it is.
Yep.
A guy, I guess, like someone like myself or someone that's like starting off in the business, I would say it really depends if they're like usually paying by the hour. I mean, if it's like a really good director and a really good production company, then one could make maybe like $100 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But that same shoot, the girl might be making like, say, something like $1,500 or $1,700 per that shoot, you know?
Okay. Wow. Interesting.
But, I mean, if it's really Cammy's birthday gangbang, you know, you've got to pay like 60, 70 men, right?
I guess like in that particular shoot, it was only about like 20 guys, and basically it was, $150 per guy?
Yeah.
As opposed to like per hour?
Yeah, okay. So, and I was going to ask you, this is the only question, so, although you sort of already answered it, like, I assume you're still sort of the entry level.
Yes, I am. I'm more like into the amateur type stuff. I'm not like looking to be like a star or be like, I guess, like some of the guys that are, like, on contract by, like, certain companies, you know.
So I'm curious about your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations. Are you just in this for the fun, or?
Me, I'm only in it for the fun. I mean, I know a lot of guys that, I mean, this is their full-time job, and you might see them, like, at every shoot. Me, it's pretty much for fun, and I do it when I want to do it.
Yeah.
And, I'll stick to my like daytime job as opposed to going full time in regards to the porn industry.
Mm. And in that vein, like how you know is has there been any collision between your porn job and your day job? I mean, has this?
No, I try to keep those two things pretty much separate in regards to.
So you don't work as an accountant for a porn company or anything, do you?
Well, I was gonna say, are you a male hustler or?
Exactly. Don't want that going around work, huh?
So, I mean,
well, there's been a lot of discussion. I've read many web pages by ex-porn actors and actresses talking about how hard it is for them to, you know, work in the straight world after working in the porn industry.
Right.
And why is that? Because it's so exciting? It's so
super sick. Because, I mean, they get into, like, I guess, like this, what is this, fast money-making type thing where they can go to a shoot, and one day they can make, like, $1,700 and wouldn't have to work for maybe, like, 2 or 3 weeks.
Well,
also, you get to go to, like, some of those, like, the porn parties, mostly fun.
Yeah, hold that thought. We'll come back to that in a minute.
Sex on film, so I guess, like, you're having fun in that vein as well, so you're getting paid to, like, have sex. So where in the real world, basically, you go to work, and you may or may not like it, And basically, if you don't like it, you move to another job, but you don't have, like, that excitement.
Yeah.
As far as, like, going to, like, a shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, drug dealing is pretty much the same kind of lifestyle, I think, except.
There's no sex.
But specifically, I was thinking of Brandi Alexander, who wrote this big article about, so she used to work, after she retired from the porn industry, she worked at, what's the big cemetery in L.A.? I can't remember the name now.
Woodlawn?
What?
Woodlawn?
Yeah, I think so, Woodlawn. She worked as, like, some kind of executive assistant there, like, under her non-porn name, and eventually got fired because people found out that she used to be a porn actress. And
she was also having sex with the corpses, that's what I heard.
Well, who doesn't? But no, seriously, so... It's less so than the addiction to the thrill and the lack of job skills, these pages are saying.
That's one of them. And also, I mean, you can look at it this way, that, I mean, most porn actresses are their own corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're their own boss.
Yeah.
I mean, they can go to a shoot if they want to go to a shoot and basically work with whoever they want to work with.
If they want to show up stoned and strung out, they can do that too, right?
Some girls have known to, like, you know, like, do, I guess, like, various drugs before coming to a shoot, and also,
like
drinking.
Like cold medicine, that sort of thing?
So, like,
a little bit stronger, but that has definitely happened, and usually the director kind of, like, pays close attention to that because he wants to get, like, the girl, I mean, in the right frame of mind to do, like, a really good shoot as opposed to, like, someone that cannot follow directions.
Yeah. Unless it's, say, targeted in that way, like Kemi's birthday heroin gangbang. Right?
Exactly. But,
So I'm curious about the again, the outside world gets the impression that the porn world is completely overrun with seedy drug peddling characters, and that drugs are rampant within the industry.
There are a great deal of I guess, like, seedy people where basically these directors get these girls and basically lowball them in regards to, like, you know, the amount of money that they pay them. And also you have, like, these directors which don't give a damn about the girls.
Yeah.
I mean, it basically treats them like, you know, no respect, you know, no consideration at all, and expect them to, like, do all this, you know, all this stuff on camera.
Yeah.
For, you know, a little bit about money.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's another idea that women who are in porn are often porn because they have sort of interesting mental conditions. I mean, again, I don't mean to be offensive at all. I'm just trying to expose, like, pop cultural stereotypes, which often include, like, heavy addictions to drugs that they have to somehow find the money for. Have you found that to be the case?
Some girls are definitely addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
Some girls basically experience, I guess, like, some type of incest in some cases. Not all, but some.
Well, that's almost stereotypical, like, according to the porn actresses that come on the Howard Stern show, right? Like, the first question you always ask them is, like, did your dad or your uncle sleep with you or something?
Wait,
like,
did
for
he
the
say
most part, I mean, the girls that I've met is, like, they, you know, just want, you know, some money. I mean, not necessarily for drugs, but, I mean, just, like, a job and, you know, like, quick money.
Well, yeah.
So, like, you know, going to, like, for example, going to college and, you know, getting a computer science degree.
Well, was it Angel Carrera? She went to USC, right? No, I'm serious.
I don't know. Do you know, Jason?
Was it Aja or Asia Carrera? I'm not sure. What? Anyway.
I think
my pal went to USC.
Asia Carrera went to, I think it was USC.
Yeah. He graduated the same year a friend of mine did. Anyway. Sorry to digress.
Cool. See, I thought he said insects.
Oh.
Sorry, I was confused. this leads to other two questions, which are, what are these people like? Are they just regular human beings? And
they're pretty regular as you can possibly be. I mean, most girls are, you know, when they're out on the town, they dress down.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in, you know, like, getting, you know, like, some blood work today, and basically most of the people that walked in basically had on their regular clothing. It wasn't, you know, anything that one would wear, you know, like, for a shoot. So, I mean, you could, like, walk past a porno star, like, in the mall, so you never know it.
Yeah. Well, so my next question is then, what are the parties like? What do these people socialize?
Oh, the parties. Oh, God. I mean, it's a lot of drinking, a lot of drugs. Sometimes it might be at, like, a director's house, one of the talent's house.
Yeah.
And it usually comes down to, like, a big raving orgy.
Whoa.
So
let me tell you, you are my hero.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, like, my dreams and hopes from being a 15-year-old boy are actually true. I'm finding out finally now, 17 years later.
Well, you'd think they'd be bored, right? Like, yeah. You'd think they would just – it would, like, after all the drinking and drugs, they'd start playing chess.
Yeah, that would be nice. But it's one thing about, like, having sex on camera and having sex off of camera.
That's true.
Basically, you don't have, like, the pressure of, like, a director kind of, like, prodding you to, like, do this and do that. At a full-blown orgy, basically, you know, you can just do whatever you want with whoever and, you know, go from there.
I guess that is the definition of the full-blown orgy, is whatever you want with whomever you want.
My life has been wasted.
Exactly. I mean, you know, like, girls, like, coming up to you, I mean, just, you know, unzipping your pants and going from there, and, you know, it's all good. Basically, it's just, you know, like, it's probably like a, you know, you can, like, think of it as being like an upscale, you know, like, you know, dance club.
My life is a hollow, empty shell. Good God.
So let me ask you the following question. Do the directors ever decide to save money and just film the parties?
Sometimes that may happen, but the thing about it is, like, if the director decides to do any filming,
yeah,
basically he must get, like, what is that? Like, some type of authorization.
Oh, like a signed release, something like that.
There.
Yeah.
And especially, like, if he wants to sell it.
Yeah.
So usually he might want to, like, keep it for, you know, like, reference in regards to, like, I mean, some people that he can use, like, in future film work.
Yeah.
And in other cases, I mean, he might, you know, decide to, you know, sell it. And then in that case, I mean, most of the girls would probably be charging, you know, X number of dollars for him to, like, actually get this film to market.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'm a little bit curious about your own attributes, because I actually have a couple of questions. First, when you're talking about doing an entire shoot in one day,
okay.
You must mean, as sort of a male, you must have to have the ability to sort of ejaculate several times during the course of the day. I mean, is that
sort
of required by the Porn Actors Guild or whatever?
I mean,
you know.
Yeah, usually, I mean, for a shoot, usually they require at least, like, one pop shot or a cum shot. And
the money shot.
And I guess, like, sometimes I've been in situations where I would do, like, one scene after the next where basically I pop, I rest for maybe, like, 15, 20 minutes, and then basically I get into another scene with another girl and I have to pop again.
Wow.
So just have to, like, you know, like, exercise, eat healthy, a lot of fruit.
Yeah, I'm surprised there aren't OSHA regulations which ban that sort of exploitation.
I mean, do you have Eastern sort of Zen meditation techniques that help you do this, or have
No, it's basically focus and concentration time. Because, like, after the first pop shot, it's usually, like, a lot harder to actually, you know, like, pop again.
Oh, yeah. Yes, even us with our pathetic, squalid sex lives realize that.
But it's usually harder to pop the second time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to, like, focus more on, like, what really turns you on in regards to the female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why you're a professional.
I try to be.
And so in terms of your, I mean, in terms of your other attributes, I don't know if this matters less in straight porn, but, okay. Like, are you sort of good looking? Are you really fit? Do you go to the gym all the time? Is that something required?
Yeah, I'm relatively fit, athletic build, you know, work out regular basis.
I mean, considering Ron Jeremy, the bar is pretty low in the straight porn world.
Well, this is an interesting question because in straight porn, right, the women really have to be attractive or sort of willing to do anything, one of the two, right?
I would say the most part, the women have to be pretty attractive.
Yeah.
Because they can, like, work out the rest with you, but, like, if you're not attractive, then basically the tape will not sell or will not be rented.
Yeah, but with,
I mean, the girl has to be, like, fairly attractive.
Yeah, but with the men, right, what are they really looking for?
And all they're looking for is guys that can, like, get it up and keep it going throughout the shoot.
So I guess Viagra must have really changed the porn industry, because now kind of any guy can get it up and keep it up for hours. Just ask
for the most part, yes. I mean, some guys, I mean, they get on the shoot and they can't get it up. I mean, it's kind of like nervous, being under the gun, the pressure. But for the most part, anyone can get in. But usually a guy coming from the outside in is usually harder if you're not, like, coming in with, like, say, a female that's also interested in being in, like, porn movies.
But right. But you did manage to slip in without a woman, right?
That's correct. Basically, I worked directly for my friend, so it was, like, wow. much easier. Then from there, I made, like, additional contacts with, like, some of the bigger, I guess, like, production houses.
So if I can jump in here for a moment, I'd like to be walked through, like, one of these typical porn shoots. Like, so you say, you know, you work for a day. Now, that could be anywhere between, like, a, say, Fat Cat CEO day, which is like 4 hours including lunch, or a grad student day, which is 23 and a half hours plus
right.
a half hour. Eight.
So yeah, let's start with you wake up in the morning with coffee and donuts.
Right. So you, when do you show up on the set?
Okay.
Is there craft service?
Okay. Okay. This is the way I can, like, basically tell you about the cami shoots.
Yeah, sure.
Essentially, we met at, like, some designated location because they didn't want, like, all the cars at the house. So we met, like, at a Jack-in-the-Box.
And then you were bussed over or something?
What was that?
Were you bussed over?
Like,
you met at the Jack-in-the-Box, and then did you...
Actually, we actually kind of, like, carpooled over because it wasn't, like, minimized the number of cars.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, could the Jack-in-the-Box people, like, feel the sexual menace in the air?
I guess, I mean, anyone could, like, realize that something was kind of, like, going on because, like, all these guys, like, waiting outside... So if the manager was to walk outside, I'm sure he would have, like, picked up on it.
Okay. Okay, sorry. Please continue.
Okay, and then we were, like, pretty much, like, carpooled over to, like, this guy's house who happens to be, you know, like, actually, you know, a lawyer. And a really big house. And
so
then
they were renting this guy's house?
Yes, renting this guy's house.
And we don't want to give any locational details, but it's somewhere in the San Fernando Valley, right?
That's correct.
Where almost everything gets filmed, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So what time? I'm a stickler for detail here. Like, so what time is it? Like, do you guys start at the crack of dawn, or is it like
we started
noon?
That particular shoot at 10 a.m.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
I wouldn't have picked porn stars for such early risers.
Yeah, it was like 10 a.m. and basically, once everyone got to the house, we filled out the appropriate paperwork, the release form, so they can actually release the video once it comes to market. Actually, they also, you know, collected our, you know, I guess like copies of our tests, our HIV exam.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
How often do you get those?
Usually, one needs to get like that particular exam like every 30 days.
Wow.
Okay. And that's the quick test, right? That's the, like, expensive quick test.
Yeah, this is, like, the 85, 90 buck test.
Okay.
A PCR DNA test.
Yeah.
Which everyone in the porn industry has to take to basically work.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, after waiting for maybe, like, you know, I would say 2-3 hours or so, we started shooting. So, let's see, that takes us around like 12, I would say.
So were they setting up, were they doing the lighting and stuff?
Actually, they started off by taking stills.
Oh, okay.
Like non-motion pictures.
Okay.
And that took maybe like an hour, 2 hours, where the girl is, I guess, like doing various poses in front of the guys.
So
and,
somebody who just dabbles in this, like, do you get your still picture taken? Do you not want to get it taken? Because, you know, that's much more obvious. Like, if you're walking down the video aisle, you can see all the stills.
Oh, yes.
Right. So do you not want to get your picture taken? Or does it not matter?
Usually, I mean, it's not, I guess, like, all that important, I guess. But, I mean, because it really depends on, like, what pictures the director or, I guess, like, the person who shoots the film use. And he takes, maybe like 3 or 4 rows of stills before he can, like, you know, I guess, like, go on to the next stage in regards to, like, filming the video.
Yeah, and he's not going to put you on the box cover. I mean, no offense intended, Jason, right?
On this particular box cover, it was, like, me and, like, several other guys that I knew.
Oh, well there you go. My mistake. I take it back.
So,
Okay, so there you are.
It really depends on regards to, like, what, I guess, like, what pictures, I guess, like, the photographer ends up using.
Yeah. So what picture best conveys the essence of the film, right?
Yes. Basically, it was I don't know, pretty simple. It was, like, cameo on the front cover. I mean, some type of, like, I guess, like, posing position. And it was, like, and it had, like, a background of, like, you know, the guys that were in the shoot.
So,
relatively simple. Right, then so, after we like go through taking up the stills, then basically we move on to actually setting up the video shoot.
Right.
Meaning that the director kind of like tells us, you know, well, you can take off your clothes now, for example, and pretty much like form two lines. Basically, it was like two fluffers at the party. And
right.
He basically said we want kind of like a round robin type thing. Regards like you get fluff, you basically play with Cammy some, and then basically get to the back of the line. And you keep that going for several times. And we want they actually wanted Cammy to be like in several different positions, like, you know, like doggy position, or I guess like what's that, reverse cowgirl. And that was, or I guess like missionary as well.
Yeah. I don't. I think cowgirl is beyond my primitive earth sex.
Cowgirl is just the woman on top.
Oh, okay.
Woman on top facing you.
And women, reverse cowgirl is woman facing away.
Okay.
So did you guys do a quick run through?
No. We he basically told us like what he was wanting.
And he put everything. So he just wanted to get everything down on video, right?
Right. Okay. He just basically said, like, go, and then basically, you know, the fluffing started, and I guess, like, the train began on Cammy, so to speak.
So I'm curious as to what the psychological dynamics of this are. So did you know this woman?
No, I haven't met her. Haven't met her at all. I mean, my first time seeing her was, like, that day.
Okay.
I mean, she looked, you know, fairly attractive. I mean, very petite. And, hey.
Well, she'd have to be if it's supposed to be her 19th birthday, right?
Yeah, true. I want to get back to the description of the shoot, but I have a question. Have you ever been in scenes with people you knew socially as well?
Wow.
I mean, not dating new socially, but just sort of new as people.
Not really, no.
Okay.
Because I could think that could be really odd, right, if you're, say, good friends with, you know, Christy McHooter, and turns out you get a job where
like,
you've got to...
If it was kind of like my friend and we hung out and basically, we play around a little bit, like, on and off camera, that wouldn't be a problem with me. I mean, I guess, like, if you meet the girl in, I guess, like, the porn industry and you start having, like, these, I guess, feelings, then... It's,
Does that way lie death? Is that a bad thing?
That's kind of like a bad thing because it can, like, interfere with, like, her career if you're, like, being, like, so, you know, insecure about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Well, true. But on the other hand, you want if the camera could catch the actual deep emotional bond between two of you, that would be porn gold, I would think.
Right. I mean, that has actually been captured by, like, Ed Powers in one of his videos.
Hmm.
In regards to, I guess, what is that? I guess, like, a couple came on, and basically, I guess, like, the female part was actually, you know, like, having sex with, like, you know, Ed Powers, and then basically interacting with, like, one of the other guys, one of Ed's friends.
Mm-hmm.
However, because the guy was, how can I say this, relatively large,
yeah.
It's like the male fiance basically was kind of like upset, you know, like basically saying like she won't be the same anymore. So that was actually captured on film, and it was really cool because it was kind of like the first time I actually seen where I guess like the significant other was kind of like pissed off by the situation.
And it was genuine and not some sort of a cover.
It was like very genuine because Ed Powers had to get the okay whether or not to, like, publish this.
Yeah.
Wow.
So for the edification of our listeners, do you know the name of that video in particular?
Wow. That was Deep Inside Dirty Debutantes. I think it was number, I think it was number 21.
Okay.
I have to, like, get back on you for that, you know.
Well, it's not a big deal. We were largely sort of curious.
But it was a deep inside dirty debutante. So it was one of those.
So to get you back on track here, so the train is pulling into Station Cammy, right?
Yes. Basically, the train is pulled on her, and then, you know, we're like...
How long does this last from first kind of...
Wow, this lasted about, I would say, maybe like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
Wow, and so all the guys were kind of up and ready the whole time, or was there a lot of...
I guess, like, you're kind of like semi-erect. Basically, if you're having sex, basically, if you're ready to, like, have sex, usually, you know, much more, I guess, like, ready to go as opposed to, like, waiting around.
Right.
Yeah, so you would then get to the front of the line.
Hello?
So if you're being fluffed, then, I mean, you're kind of, like, always up. So if you, like, move over to Cammy, then basically it wouldn't be an issue. But, like, if you're waiting in a line and not being fluffed, then basically you're kind of, like, semi-erect usually.
So does the fluffer then, like, strategically wait until she knows somebody's on the, you know, on the on-deck circle and then go to help him?
Yes, it was kind of like an on-deck type area, basically. I guess, like, if you can picture, like, looking at your wall, and then on your right-hand side was, like, the fluff girl. And then basically, if you, like, look to your left-hand side, basically it was, like, Cammy. So you would, like, go to the fluff girl, then basically you turn to your left, and then basically go to Cammy.
Wow, it sounds so methodical, so factory-like.
Yeah, it was very factory-like. I mean, in respect that, I mean, you couldn't just, like, have your way with Cammy because I guess, like, the director was, like, timing it. I guess it was,
really?
Like, maybe 2 minutes, and then basically you would say, like, next guy. Next guy, next guy, next guy.
Well, I guess it's all about Cammy. It's not about you.
Yes, it's all about Cammy, and basically the male talent is, for the most part, like background ornaments.
So, yeah. You didn't have any lines then, or?
No lines. Basically, the guys, like, joke around, and usually the director, like, likes to capture that on tape.
I mean, joke around, like, tell jokes about Irish priests and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you tell, like, all types of jokes, like, what's up, man, I did this girl, you know, like, yesterday, she was pretty hot, yada, yada, yada. Like, it's kind of like that type of joking around, and, you know, you get into, like...
Remember the FCC, be careful.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's okay, Jason.
Remember the FCC, be careful.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no, it's okay, Jason.
Okay, so this goes on for a couple hours.
Yes, basically it goes on for a couple hours in regards to, like, those 3-4 positions that I mentioned.
Right.
And then Cammy kind of takes a little rest, basically kind of like a 15-20-minute rest.
I was going to ask, it seems kind of grueling, right? Like that's...
Yes. Well, she's also, like, at the same time she's, like, in these various positions, she's actually performing on the guys as well.
Yeah.
So... You know, she's, like, performing, like, oral sex on the guys and basically also being, you know, having sex with them as well. So she's kind of, like, doing this double duty thing in regards to, you know.
Again, I'm surprised OSHA hasn't stepped in and cleaned this up.
Yeah. And some guys, I mean, actually kind of, like, how can I say this, exploded before time.
Uh-oh.
And the director was, like, really pissed off about that because, I mean, the guys that – did this, I mean, they didn't, like, warn the director because the director likes to capture these pop shots.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
For the, you know, the final release. And these guys sometimes kind of, like, go a little bit, you know, like, you know, beforehand or basically they don't, you know, notify the director that, hey, I'm getting ready to pop. Let's see, where was I? So after she, like, takes this little break and whatnot, the director instructs her to pick maybe, I think it was, like, 8 guys for, you know, to do the anal thing.
Well, she got to pick. That's pretty, I mean,
yes, because,
empowering, actually.
I mean, she didn't want guys that were, like, you know, like...
Huge?
You know, big.
Okay.
I mean, and... So she picked maybe, like, 8 guys. And,
so not to get too personal, Jason, but did you make the
What's
cut?
That?
Did you make the cut?
No, I didn't make the cut.
She, well, congratulations, I guess.
No. She was, like, trying to, like, pick the smallest people, the smallest 8. And then she would kind of like warm herself up with like this dildo and like some Vaseline before actually, you know, getting into like this, I guess like part of the shoot.
Yeah.
And then I guess like after like, you know, warmed up for maybe like 15, 20 minutes, then basically she begins this for, I would say, maybe like 45 minutes to an hour of like anal sex.
That poor girl.
Like the guys. Yeah, that's what I told her. I told her, like, after the shoot, I mean, she was, like, such a trooper because, you know, I mean, a lot of girls in the business, I mean, they can be, like, known as whiners, crybabies, hard to work with, and so on. And, I mean, she basically just, like, kept going, followed direction, made it much easier on the director because she was, like, you know, not complaining or, you know, like, you know, going on and on about, like, I don't really want to do this, and I don't really want to do that. I don't like this guy, and so on.
Yeah.
So it was, like, very good to, like, work with her, and basically it made the shoot, like, go a lot faster and a lot smoother.
So I guess that's – I guess it's really valuable in the industry, right, to, like, have a good relationship with the director because it's not like – you know, it's not like any of these – well, I'm sure there are indisposable stars, like big-name stars like Jenna Jameson and so forth. But a lot of the smaller talent, right, if you – the directors don't like you, you're gone.
That's correct. If you screw up – if a girl kind of, like, screws up with, like, a director, basically the director could basically blackball her, and then she wouldn't be able to, like, find any work because if this is, like, a big-name director, then it's going to be, like, extremely hard for her to, like, find, you know, future work.
Yeah. So after the second session of sex, do they finally let poor Cammy, you know, put a robe on?
No. This is, like, then basically we move on to, like, part three. I mean, after the anal sex part of it, then basically Cammy takes another breath, rest.
Yeah.
Breath, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, no one blames you for the slip.
She takes another break.
Yeah.
And after maybe like 20, 25 minutes or so, she comes back, and then basically this is like the bukkake shot, where basically the guys kind of form missionary on her, and then when they're ready to pop, and usually the way the guy or the director wants the pop shot, he wants one pop shot after the next. So basically you have sex with Cammy, missionary style, and you pop. They basically just pop on her face.
Yeah.
One after the other?
One after the other.
So wait, do they edit out the missionary sex, or is it all?
No, they basically keep some of the missionary sex in there.
Yeah.
And they, when the guys get ready to pop, then basically they say, "I'm getting ready to pop." Then basically the director kind of like pans the camera over to like Cammy's face.
Yeah.
To catch the pop shot.
Yeah.
Basically, you need usually like the penis, and I guess, like, the face in the same shoot.
That's the classic setup for that kind of thing.
So I guess among the guys, there must be a lot of demand to go first, right? Because you kind of get the clean slate.
I guess you can say that.
Or does it not matter? Or are you guys just
It really doesn't matter because, like, if you're having sex with her, then basically it's not too important just as long as you can, like, get yourself off.
Yeah. But
I would agree with you in the respect that it's much easier to, like, get yourself off if...
If she doesn't have a face full of...
Like, covered in, you know, I guess, like, your...
manly essence.
Or your manly, you know, whatnot.
Manly whatnot.
Can we make that the official sex talk term now?
Manly
whatnot. Manly
whatnot.
And so then at some point,
Just learn one more little piece of detail to make it also real. Like, what number were you?
God, for that one, man.
I'm just curious.
That was maybe, I don't know, like fourth, fifth, somewhere in there.
Is there an implicit ordering? Like, is there an implicit ranking, or is it pretty random?
It's actually pretty random.
Okay.
I mean, it's basically when you're ready to go, you can go.
Yeah. Okay, so at this point, this is all done. Some poor PA or fluff girl hands Cammy a towel.
Yes, basically, I guess, like, one of the PAs came out, gave her a towel, then basically she took a shower and, you know, gave her a hug, you know, like, after she showered, of course. And basically told her that she was definitely a trooper because, you know, I mean, for 4 hours of, you know, like, I mean, sex, I mean, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more than most of us get in our entire lives.
So. And you guys are all carpooled back to Jack in the Box, right?
Yeah, basically back, you know, back to Jack in the Box, pick up the car, you know, and like, they're like, man, I did this for like $150. That sucks.
I would do it for free.
But it was actually like so much fun that, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't really for the money. It was just like kind of like the excitement of the whole thing.
Yeah, the camaraderie. It does sound fun.
Yeah.
So do any of the extras, or I mean, so there's definitely some kind of star hierarchy. Like, you know, when I was an extra on Wonder Boys and I rode back to Jack in the Box in Michael Douglas's van, you know, he definitely had this kind of standoffish, don't talk to me kind of attitude, you know.
Right.
So I was wondering if Cammy, if guys were like, hey, Cammy, do you want to get together later and maybe do dinner and a movie or something? Or do they?
Well, I'm sure, like, some guys did do that, but, I mean, I guess, like, for me, out of respect for, I guess, like, Cammy is kind of, like, give her a hug and say, like, thank you for, you know, I mean, being such, like, a good sport and everything. That's kind of, like, the way I go about it. It's more like, kind of like a business thing, because I'm sure, like, a lot of guys kind of, like, approach her and, like, hey, let's get together. Maybe we can, like, do something, like, after the shoot type deal.
So you're saying you didn't just think of her
like
as
a turnoff for her.
Yeah, you didn't just think of her as an easy lay, actually. It was actually a professional relationship.
Yes, that's correct.
Did you bring her a tasteful birthday gift?
No. But we did have to wear those stupid birthday hats. I mean, throughout,
that completes the mental image.
Deals and also, like, the video, we had to wear these, like, birthday hats.
Was there cake?
It looked kind of,
Did you have, like, the noisemakers and other party accoutrements or just the hats?
Yeah, we didn't have, like, any noisemakers, but it was definitely, I guess, like, a very kind of like birthday shoot.
Hmm. So, okay, I'd like to ask you another question. You've been in a couple of other shoots as well, right?
Yes.
Did you ever – well, first, is there anything you'd like – is there anything you'd recommend that our viewing audience check out?
Oh, and guess, like, I mean, porn movies?
Well, no. I mean, performances by you, I mean.
Oh, okay. Basically, that Cammy's 19th birthday party gangbang would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. I would say that would be like kind of like the only one that I actually have seen with me on the box, you know, and I knew I was in it.
Okay.
So I would recommend like taking a look at that if you can.
Okay. Have the other ones you've been in, have you been sort of part of a crowd, or have you ever had, you know, your own role as the cable guy?
Well, I have been in, like, others where basically I'm the, what is that? I'm, like, the manager of an apartment complex.
Oh, right. So the reason why I'm asking is because I want to know the favorite line you've ever uttered in a movie.
Oh, man. Let's see.
Something like, I hear your toilet's stuck.
I heard you needed a good snaking.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Was that with extra sausage?
Oh, wow. Basically, lines. Let's see. I guess, like, one of my favorite lines that I actually remembered is kind of like, so, I guess, like, it kind of, like, went like this, where I guess, like, this girl was coming over to see the apartment, and basically I had, like, promised it to, like, another person. And then I basically asked her, you know, like, well, I don't know if you really want this apartment. And she said, well, I really want this apartment.
You know, it would be a crime for her to not say that at that point.
You know, what you can do for me, like, right now. And then, like, during the film, it's kind of like, I mean, I guess, like, in regards to, like, the video work for that particular shoot,
yeah.
I was, like, as I was having sex with her, I was telling her that, yeah, we might be able to, like, you know, like, just, like, get rid of the security deposit, you know, you know, and basically we can, like, do this, like, on, like, a monthly basis. And like that. It was kind of like, I don't know, it was really hilarious.
Yes,
so that was like kind of like laughing where the director had to like stop shooting. It was like, it was like just funny, you know?
Yeah, in the true tradition of funny porn lines.
Yeah, it was like so funny. It's kind of like doomy. It's like, and she was like giving me a blowjob. It's like, yeah, you know how to like do that. You're not a rookie.
Anyways,
like stuff like that, you know, it's like going on and on.
Jason, very, very, very sadly, we've just about run out of time.
Oh.
So I'm going to leave you with one final question.
Sure.
Which is, just based on the lines Dr. Sexopoulos and I have come with tonight, let's say we wanted to write a porn script. Would such a thing be possible?
That would be like very possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, write like a porn script, but I mean the thing about porn, I mean, it's kind of like it's a lot of ad libbing.
It sounds like it.
My experience, it's kind of like, I mean, the director comes there and it's like he doesn't have any clue as to like what the script is gonna be like.
Mm-hmm.
He basically sits there, thinks for maybe like 5 minutes, and basically, okay, this is what you're gonna do. You're going to be like this, you know, this guy, this rental manager, and basically this girl comes over wanting this apartment. You already rented. She gets over here, and basically you, I mean, get into having sex with her.
That's I like it straight,
much,
simple,
like,
to the point.
Script.
Yeah. Okay, we
not,
get the picture.
Not a lot of talking. Basically, the directors like to hear, you know, like some talking during the actual sex scenes, but it's not always, like, necessary to, like, have, like, I guess, like, feature film type dialogue.
Okay. Fair enough. Anyways, Jason.
I just wanted to wedge in just a quick question.
Okay.
I don't want to enrage our next show, but I'm wondering about your future career and your sort of future prospects, and specifically, do you think you'd ever go gay for pay if the money was right?
No. Basically, I guess I have, a strong preference for, like, females.
Mm.
And, I don't know. I don't have a problem with, like, you know, like, guys being with, like, other guys, but I guess that I'm not that type of guy. But, I mean, no, I don't think I would ever go that route. I mean, although I've heard that, I mean...
it pays well, right?
It pays, like, much more than, I guess, like, the straight films I've heard.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. What is... Jason, you've been a fantastic guest.
Absolutely.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Amazing. And we look forward to having you on again. And usually we don't mean that when we say that. But with you, we really mean it. Anyways, Jason.
Sure, I'll definitely like to, you know, like, come on again. And,
oh, yeah. Please.
I hope to, like, bring, I guess, like, one of my friends along or one of the guys
absolutely.
That I work for.
As I think we've all learned from Cammy's 19th birthday gangbang, the more the merrier.
Yes, that's always correct.
Okay, take care, Jason.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks very much, Jason.
Bye. Bye now.
Bye.
Thank you all. I want to thank all of our listeners for listening. I want to thank Jason for calling in. This is WRCT Pittsburgh. We'll be here next week, Tuesday at 11. Meet us at the Jack in the Box. We'll be waiting in the minivan. Good night.